Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, hey.
Hey, guys.
What's that, Maya?
Oh, just a new self-care thing I'm working on.
Oh,
tell us more.
Could it be called Brewmates? And if you watched our last episode, that you know that I do struggle to drink water, I will admit. And I've been working on it, actually, that I will say, 2025. But these two lovely co-hosts of mine gifted me a water bottle, as they have matching ones.
I actually have mine.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like you guys have them a lot, but if you didn't, I was going to be like, okay, maybe just me.
Yeah.
But it is a new thing that I will try to drink water, especially during episodes. So sorry, viewers, if you hear ice. But it's a good way to practice self-care, and why not do it with the other people that are monitoring my water intake?
Monitoring. There you go.
Supporting, advocating.
Mm-hmm. Advocating.
Yes.
Begging. Yeah. Just kidding.
Tell us a little bit about our topic today.
Well, we are thinking about being the therapist you never had. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The therapist sometimes we wish we had.
Yeah, maybe that too.
Yeah. Which I feel like can go apply, obviously, for us as therapists, because we do learn a lot about the ins and outs of therapy and clinician strategies and whatever, but also just as everyday people who have been in therapy before and who know people in therapy and maybe what they would say if given the chance. So what issues do you wish our therapists growing up maybe knew, or also could be that different times, right? Like, it wasn't really until more recently, I feel like there's been better communication about mental health and less stigma, but if we find that maybe that also could have influenced the way a therapist was for us or a therapy experience we had.
Cultural differences. I feel like...
Please elaborate.
A lot of pathologizing, fancy clinical word for like trying to diagnose or like evaluate something like a normal or like something that's culturally normal, diagnosing it as something else. And I feel like a lot of times that happened where it was like, because it was like something, a family dynamic that I had or something I was doing didn't relate to like my therapist culture, it was kind of judged or like looked at as a problem, but it was totally normal in my culture to be that way. So I think cultural differences is a big one, and which is why it's so important when working with like anybody or just in any part of life to learn about each other, because we are all different and we all have differences. So I think when we struggle to understand other people's experiences, that's when we run into trouble.
That's a good point. And I think when we first entered the therapy, I say we, I was talking like always when thinking about Maya and I, but I think when we first entered therapy in high school, some of the therapists just, I don't know, maybe it was their age and the way they were trained, but not very like wasn't very a warm space, and that I think goes back to last week. We were talking about like the roboticness of therapy that we're taught to kind of be, and I think that's the way that they were educated on how to best kind of do this work to be like robotic and like, I don't know, not human. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really difficult, especially being a teenager.
Yeah.
At the time.
I also feel like when you're younger, under 18, obviously, like a lot of times it's the parents reaching out to a therapist or have to be kind of in some capacity on board. Mm-hmm. So when I think back to like our early experiences as clients, like when I was in therapy, I don't know if I would have personally like chosen those people to be my therapist either. But it's not until I'm older now where I've been able, luckily, to choose and, you know, have wonderful providers, but where I'm like, oh, I kind of do wish I had more, or even like speak up. But I also don't know if I knew what I was looking for. And I also didn't really know what was going on too much. Yeah. Like, it was all just so new and just a lot going on. Like, it's a very, I mean, as teenagers anyway, you're very emotional. But I think when there's a lot of stuff going on too, it can vary. Just feels like a very like cloudy time. But I feel like looking back, I'm like, oh, I wish there was like one. I will say it's not every person that I've ever saw as a teen, but it would have been better to have someone maybe with more understanding, mm-hmm. or more kind of like cultural awareness too.
No, Ellie said,
yeah,
culture matters.
I also feel like that every therapist is different, right? Like, we all are the human behind us, which I think is something that like the stigma around therapy that like people don't realize who haven't engaged in therapy, that like we all bring our own unique selves and personalities and also mm-hmm. like specialties into something. So mm-hmm. the idea that like you can start off with a therapist but like not continue with them, like you do a first session. I wish I knew that, like that you mm-hmm. could do a first session with someone, you could do five sessions with someone, mm-hmm. 10 months, like years, and still be like, okay, this person maybe like helped me during the season of life, was this was helpful in this way, or maybe it wasn't at all. And mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that like therapy may not be for you, or that therapy like isn't helpful. It just might mean you're not the match for you. And yeah. I know like we've done that a lot just with each other in terms of consulting with each other, of me being like, okay, I am in this situation, like any support? And like when we've worked at the same agencies, like referring, if I like do a first session with someone and I'm like, you know what, I think you're going to be a much better fit with mm-hmm. like Morgan, right? And then talking to telling them like, let's see if I could get her availability, and then talking to them. So mm-hmm. I want people to know, like, just because you sign up for therapy with one person mm-hmm. does not mean you are stuck with them, because so many times like friends and family who's like outside of the therapy world, they're like, oh, it didn't work out, like I didn't like her or him, like I didn't like them. And I'm like, oh, okay, so are you gonna try someone else? And they're like, no, like I don't know if therapy's for me then. And I'm like, wait, no, it's the part, like it's not. Like, yeah, it's just, it didn't click, and that's okay. And yeah, not only is it okay, it's normal. Like, it's we're not friends with everybody in the universe, right? Like, we all have our preferences with any relationship. You're gonna probably have preferences with your what type of therapist you want too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I tell people it's like trying on a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You gotta find the size that fits the best.
Yeah, like shop around. Like, and a lot of therapists do offer like a consult call, discovery mm-hmm. call, or some type of like intro, or usually. And so I think sometimes that can help too, just as we were talking about last episode too, like the differences now with holding space, not only in-person sessions, but telehealth. And so sometimes mm-hmm. that's important, because you're not really like meeting them until, you know, you see them on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a good like segue as well as what Nelly was saying, like, is therapy for me? Do I need to go to therapy? I did it when I was young. I'm fine now. Like, how do we get more people into the therapy space? Because I feel like a few things lack now that I've worked with a lot of people and have been in the field for almost 10 years. Wow. It's like seven, but still, I round up. But I think a lot of people lack like the ability to talk about what is going on inside, expressing emotions, regulating emotions and behaviors. And I think social anxiety is definitely on the rise, even if people don't know what that is. I think just having conversations with people, looking people in the eye when you talk, like those things, all of that, it's all what we work on in therapy. But I'm like, what is keeping people out of the therapy space and out of the room? Why don't they return or even want to take that first step?
I think people think something has to be wrong to go to therapy. Like something has to have happened or to them recently, or has to be wrong, like in their life to go to therapy, that they, and that's just not the case.
Yeah,
Like
like what's
you don't,
wrong mean?
yeah, exactly. Like you don't have to feel like, if we equate, I think something that's really helpful that I use a lot is equating your mental health to physical health, because physical health often you can see or feel differently. And then it kind of puts the things in perspective, like, oh, just because we can't see our emotions and we can't like they we don't see like a scar or a bruise when we're feeling a certain emotion that's challenging, doesn't mean it doesn't still have that same impact. And I feel like you don't wait, for instance, if you're like go take walks or you like go to the gym, you oftentimes you're not waiting till your doctor says like you have to, like something goes wrong with your health to do that. A lot of times you're just doing it to do it because it feels good, even at the times that it doesn't feel good. Like it's not going to feel good to go to the gym all the time. It's not going to feel good to get movement in whatever way you want all the time, but sometimes you might still push yourself to do it because you know it feels good after or whatever. That's like very similar to therapy or like your mental health. You don't necessarily wait for something to blow up to then be like, okay, let me go do this.
Yeah, like a band-aid.
Love to when like a client could come in and like tell me something good that happened. And it just allows more praise and support and validation. And it's like so great to see. You know, even for us too, it's like we want to see not just the bad, but the good also. And to know that. And I think sometimes it can be hard to recognize the good, which could be a separate conversation. But I think sometimes it is nice for your therapist to kind of see both too.
Walk with you through all the ups and downs and all the things as
And
well.
like seeing you recognize the good is so awesome because we see it like, and it's always easier as an outsider to see that and be like, wait, there's resilience and strength here, even though it does not feel like it at all. There's a saying like in therapy where we say like, instead of like I'm telling myself this or like I feel this way, like my depression is telling me this or like anxiety is telling me this.
Name
So
it.
like it's not necessarily just because we have a thought doesn't make it fact. And so like sometimes our anxiety is telling us something that's not necessarily real. And I feel like that applies here where we can see that so well with working with people. But it's like it's just always nice to see someone like in friendships, in any type of relationship. It's so awesome when you see your people
Yeah,
be happy.
be well with friends, with family. And I think people can see it in others before you can see it in yourself. Because we are our own biggest critics. Did I say that in the first episode too?
We please, let's say it every episode.
Naps for
Every
that.
day.
I tell everyone that, all my clients and people, like we are our biggest critics, and I don't know what happens. Like if in another life, if I had the time and energy, I would definitely be into like neuroscience and neurobiology, because the way the brain works and shifts and all these like just things it stores is so interesting. I just, that's cool, isn't it? But I think that, yeah, we can change the way we view ourselves, but it takes like self-compassion to undo a lot of things. Yeah. And to name things. I was yelling, like, name it when Nelly was talking a second ago. I think people need to name it.
Yeah.
And no, it's not a weakness.
Yeah.
It just means you need some tweaking or need to unlearn and relearn some things. Yeah. You don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah, because naming it is so validating too. Like, have you ever, like, again, equating it to like a physical thing, if you've had symptoms of something physically for a long time and you don't know what's going on and you're stressed about it, and then you go to a doctor and they're finally like, oh, this is that.
Yes.
Like, oftentimes you can feel like an exhale, like, okay, got it. Like, we understand what it is, because when you've named it, then you have something that you're like, okay, I can come up with a plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
Managing it. But if we are pretending it doesn't exist, but we're being raw and real here. So the three of us, we all struggle with avoidance too.
Uh-oh, not us being called out.
We don't name, I'm calling myself out too. We don't name it for ourselves all the time, but we do for each other, which is really helpful. I was just having a hard week a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, time is weird, about being a first-time mom. And naming it to my friends was really scary. But once I said it out loud, everything that they could give me next was like, I can't even put it into words how helpful it was. And hearing the way that they see me as a mom was really eye-opening, that my own mental health was telling me otherwise. So we keep it raw and real here.
We do. And I feel like we learned a lot, I would definitely say, in grad school, maybe before that, but grad school for sure. We kind of knew, like, going around class or learning about mental health diagnoses and medications, everything. And like, everyone, you kind of recognize parts of yourself in that work, whether it's you directly or a family member or friend, or the fact that a lot of therapists have therapists of their own,
which is a good sign.
That's like a normal thing to us, but I know it's still very stigmatized for other people too. But I think you brought up a good point, Nelly, of like, sometimes we have to name it even for ourselves. It's like, oh, but I'm a therapist. Do I even have, you know, can I even feel the same way or have a bad day or a rough couple weeks or a down period? And it's like, yes, of course, I'm still human. I still need space held for me, similar to the way I hold it for other people. And I think it is really helpful to name it too, and to feel that support, no judgment, and just being able to acknowledge.
Yeah. And provide empathy. Cause like I remember the text from Nelly, and you know, I was like, we can't understand cause we're not in that role. But from what we see, here are all the things we admire and all the things that we know are challenging, but we see you pushing through. So I think empathy is a big thing that can help. Loved ones, people you know, strangers. It's empathy.
We need a whole, maybe a series on empathy and how a little bit of empathy goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
For others and for ourselves.
Yep.
Yes. But I do like sometimes, and not all the time, but there's been times in certain intake or initial like assessments back when I used to work at a hospital, like there's times where we ask, or I have asked someone, what was helpful for you in the past and what was not helpful for you, like in therapy with a therapist, with the medical provider, because I think that's helpful, like that feedback.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not until you've had more than one therapist or more than one attempt or more than one experience that you're like, oh, okay, the last time I was in therapy. And again, like I think we in the beginning talked about how people stop therapy or restart therapy for so many different reasons. But I think a lot of times it is helpful for them to be like, okay, this really helped. Like if my therapist really challenged me, or if we did more like journal prompts or whatever kind of helps them. And so I think sometimes that's helpful and more acknowledged now in this present time. There's a lot of different types of therapists, whether it's their modality they use or different
approach,
or like somatic work and different art therapy, all dance, a lot of text too. And so just even asking like, oh, does this exist? Like if this helps me feel better, does that exist like in the therapy world? Because chances are it probably does.
It does. Yeah. It probably does. And that's why therapy being so stigmatized. Like, it's this mm-hmm. cycle of people don't know what it can be. And so because of that, there's not enough resources and funding for therapists to show people what it could be. So it's like mm-hmm. this constant kind of push pull of the stigma feeding into lack of resources for both clients and for therapists to grow and show what they, you know, can offer. But everyone is deserving of a space that is for them. Mm-hmm. And so what we wish, a lot of like what we've learned or our personal experiences help shape how we are as therapists. So know that if you are like what we started with of just like the therapist you wish you had, they might be out there. And if it's with someone, if you're feeling like it's worth it to have that conversation with your current therapist that like we were doing this and that was helpful, or this is not helpful and I'm looking for this, is that something you can like get? I just want to, like, as a therapist, I feel like give permission to people that you have a right, and it is your right to share what you're looking for out of therapy, what your preferences are. And like, I'm not going to guarantee that that therapist is going to be like, yep, great, on it, and that it works out. But you do have a right to name it and to try and problem solve it together. And I would say in a lot of instances, you will be able to problem solve that together, depending on the situation. So you may be, but
maybe hopefully. Maybe hopefully. Because we want to encourage your listeners, and whether it's, again, people not in therapy, people in therapy, therapists, we want to encourage them. You know, there's a lot of different avenues to find a therapist now too. Like, there's wonderful directories, websites, a good amount of clinicians or practices are on social media, and sometimes they give like intro videos or kind of are able to provide their own sense of personality. So I think there's a lot of good ways to kind of see like, oh, maybe we would be a good fit, aside from the standard like consult call, which is really nice.
Agreed. So important. And I'm sure this will come up more in later episodes too. Empathy, I can, I'm envisioning a series. So let us know what you guys want to see next from us, what you want to talk about. We're going to open a question, kind of a Q&A type thing, and we'll read some of the questions out next time all together and provide answers to the best of our ability. So yeah, I guess we'll wrap it there.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Tease up.
For
tease up.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.